Please turn this morning to the book of Psalms, number 116. Psalm 116. We're starting to read at the 16th verse and then reading down to Psalm 117. O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Let's bow, please, before him now for prayer. Our Father, we give thanks this morning for this time we can gather in thy presence to sing thy praises and to worship thee from our hearts in prayer and in the reading of thy word. And now, dear Father, we pray that we will be set apart in mind and heart and soul. We will focus our attention upon the Word of God, that every distracting thing will be taken from us. Lord, we ask of thee to give us the stillness and awareness of thy presence with us. Lord, we know that we're here because that you've promised where two or three are gathered in thy name. Lord, we want to be very conscious of thy presence here. Blessed Savior, open our minds, open our hearts, take away those things which would barge in, which would intrude upon a sacred time. And dear Lord, give us grace. We need a double portion, Lord. We need thee to come and to help us, because in ourselves we are weak and we are helpless and we are hopeless. But O God, to rest upon thy finished work, to rest, O Savior, upon all that thou hast done for us, we are blessed indeed. So hear our prayers now this morning. We know, Father, that there are some here in our gathering with very heavy hearts, some with great burdens. And I pray that we will be helped in the carrying of those burdens, strengthened with might in the inner man. We pray not only for those who have burdens of thy people, but what about those who have the burden of sin still in their hearts? They have never, Lord, trusted in thee. If never truly cast their life upon Christ. Maybe, Father, some here today think that they are Christians, but they are really not saved. Lord, bring them to the point where they know for certain that they are the people of God by faith in Christ. And so hear our prayers this morning. May there be a word for everyone. Do not let anyone leave disappointed today. Don't let anyone leave misunderstanding the word. Oh God, come, we pray, and bless thy truth with the power of thy Holy Spirit. And Lord, for this end, I pray for the grace and the power and the unction of thy Spirit to be upon me. For I cannot speak of myself or by myself, Lord. I need thy power. So enable me today. Hear our prayers now, and just be with us and strengthen us. We ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Amen. I would like to draw your attention to the second verse of Psalm 117, and specifically these words where the psalmist said, "For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever." Psalm 117 is the 595th chapter in the Bible, and that makes it the very middle of the Scripture. Now, of course, we know that the chapter and verse divisions are not inspired. They have been placed in there for our help and our aid of finding the Scripture and of navigating through the Word of God. And so, therefore, it comes to us more by way of information than anything else. But when we look at Psalm 117, it is the smallest chapter, if we could put it that way, in the entire Bible. But you know, just like the minor prophets, they may be small in their amount, but they are not small in their content. They are exceeding large in their content. And this portion falls just before Psalm 119, which of course is the largest in the entire Bible. And some commentators have felt that Psalm 117 has been used by way of a doxology, something that would be said at the end of a gathering of God's people, something to send the Lord's people on their way and taking the Word of God with them with rejoicing and praise very much in their hearts. This psalm starts and it concludes with an exhortation for the nations, or we could say for the Gentiles, to give their hallelujah, their praise unto the Lord. The question comes, how could these Gentiles give praise to Jehovah whom they did not know? And in this we have something of the greatness or the universality of the gospel message, for this is what the psalmist was getting at. And in this we see the message includes every nation, every tongue, every kindred, and every people under heaven. And all are gathered in Christ under the umbrella of His everlasting mercy. All in the Lord will be welcomed into the ark of God's salvation, secured and safe, and partaking in the glorious inheritance that you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have read from Romans 15, and in fact the 11th verse of that portion is where the Apostle Paul quotes from this psalm. And he quotes from this psalm as he is unfolding to the Roman Christians the fact that the gospel indeed has come to the Gentile nations. It has come because the Lord prophesied and promised that His word, His gospel, His message of free and saving grace would be far and wide, encompassing the entire globe, encompassing every people, every nation, every tongue, and every language. This is the message and the extent of the gospel that the Lord gave. Sometimes we wonder why it was that the gospel message has come to us. Why have we been recipients of that mercy from the Lord? Did we merit this? Did we deserve it because we were born into a Christian nation? Did you deserve the grace of God because you were born into a family whose parents may have been believers? Oh, my friend, none of those things are true. But it is because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because of His grace, we have been the participants in His everlasting mercy. And Psalm 116 and verse 13 tells us, I will take the cup of salvation and I will call upon the Lord. And so whenever we wonder, is salvation for me? Let unbelief be gone. Let doubt be cast away. Friend, if you have called upon the Lord, if you have asked Christ to come into your life and to wash your sin away, then He will come at the voice, at the sound of your voice, at the call and cry from your own heart. And you may today rejoice and rest in Him. Do not give place to the unfounded fears and the questioning that the devil puts into our minds. They are of no profit. Do not listen to the voice of the evil one, or he would try to make us overcome with our own guilt and our own unworthiness, and certainly the weight of our own sin and personal failure that's upon us. Let those things be put aside, because in the Lord, in Christ, and through His blood, we have forgiveness of sins. We have cleansing and washing. And John the Apostle reminds us that God is faithful, and He is faithful to wash and cleanse us from all our sin as we call and confess unto Him. Rejoice, therefore, Christian, today. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, the Apostle said, I say rejoice. You see, we are called upon as the people of God to give thanks and to praise His holy name. But why? What is the reason? Well, the reason is obvious. For His merciful kindness that is great toward us. And that's exactly what the psalmist said. His merciful kindness toward me has been great. And I want us to think about that this morning. The great kindness of God toward us. What does it mean? And how are we to understand it? Friends, there is overwhelming evidence of this truth. God has been kind toward all His creatures. That is true. And I want us to think about that for just a moment. The kindness of God toward all of His creation. Turn over to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. And verse number 5, he says, I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. For the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. For all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. You see, God has poured out His kindness, His blessing to all of His creation, none of which are deserving of it. And you and I today, as we sit in this building, we have received the abundance, the bounty of the kindness of the Lord in His common grace, we could say, in His general grace. But it's been so bountifully applied to all of His creation. And yet man would stop and look and say, why has God allowed this to happen? Why has He allowed that to happen? And in so blaming God for what appears to be the bad things that they observe, they fail to see that the kindness of God has given His bounty to all of His creatures. All the creation of God clearly manifests His kindness that has been toward all of His creation. And you know, even though man and nature has fallen because of sin. And as Tennyson the poet wrote about nature being red in tooth and claw, yes, that may be true, and yet we find that God has still abundantly blessed you, friend, today. He has abundantly poured out His kindness in such a general way, and yet in so often it has been specific ways you can see in your own very life. Yes, when you think things have turned hard against you, and you think maybe you have not had the blessings or benefits of other people, stop for a moment and think of what you have today and what blessings you have from the Lord in just a temporal fashion. Never mind even entering into the spiritual domain yet, but think, friend, today of the mercies of God toward you in supplying all the need that you have, in giving to you bounty upon bounty. The Lord has been kind, He has been gracious, He has been good, and it has been the result of the sinful and wicked behavior of men that have turned that grace, that have turned that kindness of the Lord on its head, and have ended rejecting the Lord and bringing more hurt, destruction, disappointment upon our own heads when we have turned away from the kind hand of the Lord on us. Friend, when we think about the overwhelming evidence of the truth of what the psalmist said here about God's merciful kindness being great toward us, think upon the giving of His only begotten Son for you. Think that God the Father parted with His Son in order to send Him down to this world, that He might live among sinful people, that He might suffer the verbal and the physical abuse of men, that He might suffer even His communion and fellowship with wicked people, in order that He might make His way toward the cross and there to give Himself an offering and a sacrifice for you. In 1962, there was a Canadian missionary. His name was Don Richardson. He went with his wife Carol and their 7-month-old child. And they went to the Sawai tribe. It was in the Dutch New Guinea area of Indonesia. And they went there with the intention of bringing the gospel to a particular tribe of natives that were known for cannibalism. They were headhunters. And so as they introduced themselves and made friends, they began to learn the language. And it was a difficult and a long, arduous journey. 8 to 10 hours a day, Don would spend with some of the tribal people trying to get the phonetics of the language, write it down as it sounded, and go through the complexity of that in order to bring them the gospel, the Word of God. And eventually they were able to master the language to whatever degree needed to begin to share the gospel of Christ with them. Now, they were a warlike people. And as he would share with them the gospel of the Lord Jesus and God sending His Son down to die for them, whenever he got to the part of the story that was about the treachery of Judas, they rejoiced in that aspect of the story because to them, their whole civilization was based upon the hero of who was be the greatest traitor. And so Don tried varying times as he would share with them the gospel message, and nothing seemed to impact them. He could not get the message of God's love across to them in the giving of His Son because they always rejoiced, it seemed, in Judas rather than in Jesus. There was a neighboring tribe, and they had had clashes many times. And certain periods, there was a heightened amount of violence, And it seemed that it was really increasing and increasing. And they were oftentimes at war with each other. And there was much murder. There was much bloodshed. And one day, the captain or the leader, the chief of the tribe that Don and his wife Carol were ministering in, they said, we have to do something in trying to stop this senseless violence that was going on. And so the warriors of both these tribes, they lined up, and Don reported that the chief took from the arms of his wife their newborn child. And the chief walked down all the warriors in his tribe, and each one of them put their hand on the head of the baby. And then he walked across the expanse of space where the other tribe was lined up with the warriors, and he took that child and he placed it into the hands of the chief of that other tribe. And that chief took that child and walked down all of his warriors, and each one of them put their hands on the head of the child. And as long as that child lived, there would be peace between these two tribes. And if anyone killed that child, they then would be killed and the war would start again. And so Don Richardson wrote the book Peace Child. And from that illustration, he was able to gather the people together and show them and share with them, this is exactly what God has done for you, friend. He has shown His exceeding great kindness, His exceeding great love to you. He has given His Son, the infant, the baby Jesus, into this world to be the peace child, so that you and I might have forgiveness of sin, that we might be cleansed and washed, so that you and I might enter into the family of God, be brought into a living, vital relationship with Him, and only on the merit of the child, of the Son of God, who loved us and gave Himself for us. You see, friend, God's kindness toward us is so abundantly evident that you must be blind in order not to see it. And indeed, the God of this world has blinded your mind, and you fail to see God's great love for you. But He sent His Son not only to live a holy life for you, but He sent His Son, my friend, to die for you. Do you get that, believer? Do you know today what that means in your life? As you might be consumed with so many things, and problems and grief and difficulty flood in upon your mind, and you are consumed with so many, many things, and maybe you're consumed today with bitterness in your own heart. You're consumed because that brother or that sister has not treated you with the respect that you feel you deserve, and so that root of bitterness is in your heart and springing up, and it's defiling you and defiling others around you as well, because your eyes are not on the Son of God. Our eyes have been diverted to other things, and we fail to see again the beauty and the wonder and the glory of who our Redeemer is and of what God the Father has done on our account. Friend, think again of the cross. Think again of what Christ has done for you. Because in that picture, in that large picture, you see the wonder and the grace and the love and the kindness of our Lord toward us. And if you want more evidence of God's kindness, more than the cross, why, you will see it extended in the very conversion of sinners. Because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, He has come. And He has come to bring the message of the gospel and the beauty of the story of Christ. He has brought that message to our hearts. Now look, we didn't deserve it, because we are rebels and we are wicked sinners. And though we have received of the bounty of God's kindness in a temporal way, yet, friend, when the greater bounty, the greater evidence of His kindness in sending His Son to us, we still rejected that message, blinded by the God of this world. And the Lord did not stop there by simply sending His Son to die, but He sent further the Holy Spirit into our lives to convict us of our sin in order to draw us to His Son. That is the Lord's grace. That is His kindness. And His kindness toward us has been great because, yes, in our sin we rejected Him. And us as sinful creatures, we for so long turned away from the gospel message. We turned away and rejected and said, no, not now. We're like that one in the New Testament that said, some more convenient season I'll call upon you. No, not now. I don't want the Lord now because I have a life to live. I have goals to accomplish. I have things yet to do. Friend, listen. We do not know the day or the hour. And as the Spirit of God in His kindness is striving with your soul, will you ignore Him still? God says, my Spirit will not always strive with man. And who knows but that you might cross the line. And friend, you've heard the gospel message before, and you're hearing it again today. Do not resist. Do not reject. Do not turn away your heart and harden your mind and stiffen your neck, because the Lord says, he that hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Suddenly. Oh, friends, today think of the kindness of the Lord in sending the Spirit of God to convict you of your sin. And in that conviction, He gives you the grace and the faith to believe in Christ and draws you to Himself. That is kindness. Because in our deadness, in our unbelief, in our spiritual stubbornness and rebellion, we could not believe, but the Lord strove with us and He opened our heart and breathed into the breath of life, and we became a living soul, and He gave us the gift of faith to lay hold upon His Son. He has provided for us all these things, but the kindness of the Lord doesn't stop there. He continues in the very development of His church, His people. He has given to us all things richly to enjoy, and in every generation, spanning every time period and every geographical barrier, the Lord has sent His Spirit and has convicted and seen sinners converted, and His church is being built. And when we talk about the church of Jesus Christ, we're not talking about any denomination, friend. We are talking about those who are truly born again of His Spirit. And if you are a true Christian, you are a part of the church that Jesus Christ is building. And He has promised that it will be built, that it will be finished, that it will be a force to be reckoned with as it goes forward in this time. The Lord has been kind to provide for His people, His own blood-bought people. He is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. And friend, in faith today, we are able to rest in Him and say, even in the trials and difficulties of life, cast your heart by faith to the great provider. He is not going to leave us to flounder to ourselves. He has promised that He will keep us to the very end, to the very river of death, and then He will escort us over into His glorious kingdom. Yes, friend, The Lord is kind in His provision. He is kind for His church to protect us against all the destructive forces that are around. Samuel Stone, the hymn writer, wrote in the church's One Foundation in the third verse that we sang, "Though with a scornful wonder men see her, the church, sore oppressed by schisms, by divisions rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping. Their cry goes up, how long? And soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. What the Lord has commenced, He will complete. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it and perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ." That is our hope, friend, today. So if you feel abysmally weak in yourselves, feel it. Stay there. But turn your eyes by faith toward Christ and find your strength in Him. Because when we do that, we are able to rejoice and take a vote of no confidence in our flesh, but put all our confidence in Him. For He is the one whom we love and whom we trust and who has promised to provide for us all our needs. And He will never, never, never leave us nor forsake us. Adam Clark, the commentator, said this about the kindness of the Lord: "It is not only great in bulk or number, but it is powerful. It prevails over sin, over Satan, over death, and over hell." We have everything that we need. And on top of that, the Lord, in His kindness to us, has given us His promise. The Word of God, filled with promises. And God, who has given His Word to His Word, He says, "I am stamping My Word with authority, and I will place My Word above all My name." In other words, God submits Himself to His own Word. How so? Because, friend, when He makes a promise, when He gives His Word, He cannot lie. He cannot break that Word. And so therefore the promise is given to us, and we can bank on it. It is the checkbook of the bank of faith. And we have hope and trust today in these very things of God's kindness for us. You know, with all that, our lives are to reflect this attribute of God. How is it that we can be unkind, we can be cruel, we can be evil in our thinking? How is it that you and I can be like that and still call ourselves a child of God? It's a rebuke to us. It needs to be a rebuke to us. We need to all examine our hearts and say, "Lord, where those vestiges of the old nature and the old way are about us, purge them out. Get them gone. I need to be and I need to have that attribute of the Lord's loving kindness. I need to have it in my own heart. It has to be in my Christian life. It must be in my home. It must be in the workplace. It must be in the house of God. It has to be in our relations one with another." May the Lord forgive me for the times where I fail on this very point. May the Lord give you grace to confess your own sin and the lacking, and to pray that we will have that blessed and privileged harmony in the work of the Lord here in this congregation. Because if we are going to grow to be more like the image of Christ, and we're going to see His beauty in us and working through us, then we must reflect His love, His kindness, and His grace on a day-to-day basis. Is not this, friend, basic Christianity? Is it not basic Christianity to have the love of God in us and to have love one for another. Read again John's second and third letters. How he poured out his love for God and his love for his brothers, his sisters in Christ. And it was such a testimony that not only was it seen there, but Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he wrote to the Philippians, he wrote to the Thessalonians, and he said, your testimony of love has gone far and wide. And he said, that is the model, that is the way. Love and kindness, these things are attributes that we cannot look beyond. You see, what the psalmist said here was that the merciful kindness of the Lord is great toward us. Now, we could read that God's merciful kindness is great, or His great merciful kindness is toward us. But it reads, His merciful kindness, it is great toward us. In other words, it is bountifully poured out. And you and I are not to be stingy in our giving of kindness, not to be stingy in our giving of love or of grace. May the Lord enable us and help us. Because you see, all of these aspects in our own Christian walk will show that we are in touch with Him. We have received of His grace. And because we have received it, and because it is part of us, then we also are to enter into and rejoice and take that which His kindness has shown us in our day-to-day life. How many times have you heard someone say to you that the church, the Christian church, is filled with so many hypocrites that I don't want to be a part of that? Sadly, you know ungodly people that may have treated you better than a Christian person has treated you. And sometimes you feel, well, it's just unfair, it's not right. But then, friend, you look into your own heart and you see in your own soul that there are these gaping areas that need to be addressed. And we need to pray for His grace. And what do we do but get alone with God and pray, Lord, increase, multiply, pour out these aspects and attributes into my own life, that I will become more conformed to the image of Christ, that I will be more like Him, less like my old self, less like the evil ways that are so much stick to us and cling to us. And pray, Lord, cause the grace of God to increase and grow, that I might grow more and more like Him, and that He will be seen in us in a day-to-day basis. So, friend, if you are not a believer today, let me encourage you and exhort you on the authority of the Word of God. Repent this morning. Turn unto Him. Come to the Lord and make no delay. Make no excuse. Come to Him now, for you will find Him open. You will find the Lord ready. And as His Spirit is striving with you now, don't turn away from it. Don't ignore the drawing of the Lord's Spirit. But humble yourselves and submit yourself to Him. And say, oh God, what must I do to be saved? And believer, if you have to admit you're walking a distance from Him, you're not walking as close to the Lord as you did 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 6 months ago, what's happened? What's gone wrong? Why, you've left the Lord. You've broken fellowship with Him. That's what's wrong. You've left Him from praying. You're something else has come into your heart and life, and it's just distracted, and now you can't see the Lord by faith as once you did. You need to come back to the place where you left Him, just like Abraham. Do you remember how he was worshiping the Lord at Ai, place where he built the altar? But he disobeyed and went away from the Lord down into Egypt, got into a whole mess of trouble. But it wasn't until he came back to the same place where he had met the Lord before, the place of the sacrifice, friend, the place of the cross. And that's where we need to come back to. Because we will find that the Lord there is in the repair business. And we bring the rusted and banged up wreck and we bring it into His body shop. And He does the work for us. And He will do the repair. And He will get us a fresh coat of paint. And we'll be back on our way again. May we fellowship with Him and not turn away. And pray that this kindness and this grace that the Lord has so showered on us, it will be in our life. Did you notice the second part of that psalm, that verse? It says, "And the truth of the Lord, it endureth forever." We've been thinking about that. The last couple of weeks we've been thinking about Psalm 119. And almost every verse in that psalm is dealing with the Word of God in some dimension, some aspect. And so when we think about the Lord and pray for Him to deal bountifully with us, that Thy servant may live and keep Thy word, that's our desire. Read through Psalm 119 again and mark the number of times David prays, "Lord, I need to keep Thy word. I want to keep it in my heart. I want to guard it. I want to preserve it. I want it to be reflected in me and through me. I want it to be in my mind to direct my thinking processes. Because the truth of the Lord endureth forever, and because we endure forever with Christ, we want His word to be in our life, that enduring principle, that principle which makes us operate in the way that God wants us to think and to operate. That, my friend, is sanctification. That is the Lord's Spirit working in us and working through us and producing in us that which pleases our Heavenly Father. The Lord loves righteousness and He hates evil. And so, friend, if you love the Lord, why then you will love righteousness as well. If I love the Lord, then in my heart I will love His word. I will love righteous things. I will want to honor Him. And I will want to stay away from those things that dishonor His word, because God's truth and word endures forever. And I want to honor that word. I want my life and my heart to submit to that and be in obedience, walking every day in the center of His will, and in so doing with the joy and peace of the Lord in our hearts. Let's close our service today by singing one hymn. Number 53. Hymn number 53. Let's sing verses 1, 3, and 4. Father, we pray that these words would be on our hearts and in our minds, not just as something perfunctory, but in the meaning, in the power of what they express. We ask Thee, Lord, to separate us now in Thy fear, with Thy rich blessing. Keep us in the Spirit on Thy day. Help us to enjoy fellowship one with another, and bring us back again to Thy house tonight, looking for and expecting Thy blessing upon us. Lord, hear our prayers. Continue to strive in the hearts of each one of us, so that we will be both saved and conformed to the precious and holy image of our Redeemer. Hear our prayers. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.